Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with a little article from AARP, the magazine. Up front, the A-list. Six surprising things about Diane Lane. 1. Her parents called it quits soon after she was born. They basically rendezvoused to procreate me, and I never knew them as a couple. Their various custody things felt to me like being in a football in someone else's game. You just think, why the drama, people? 2. Her mom was Playboy's Miss October, 1957. My mother was one of 9 kids, and Grandma was a Pentecostal preacher. Mom went to New York and was basically funding the church with her sin money. One photograph that sums it up, Hugh Hefner standing with me and my mother, and her face says how uncomfortable she's feeling. I have so much compassion for her experience now. 3. She wanted to play Pretty Woman. I auditioned for it along with every actress in my age bracket with 2 legs. But you shake off the dust and keep moving. When you're in show business, so many people get to control your outcome. 4. She takes fame at her own pace. I was on the cover of Time magazine at 14, and I had already been in a film with Laurence Olivier and was having pizza with Andy Warhol. I'm grateful for all that, but it's weird to be singled out. Once you have the world's attention, what do you do with it? So you step away for a bit. When you return, they call it a comeback. 5. In another life, she would be a shrink. I would be a therapist if I wasn't an actor. I really enjoy analyzing the way the mind works. Your conscience exists for a reason. People build up defenses so they don't have to feel things too intensely. But if you peel back the layers, you see, oh, it's because I didn't apologize to my dad before he died, or whatever. What's that saying? If it's not one thing, it's your mother. And 6, after twice marrying and divorcing, being single is okay. I'm good on my own. I was grateful to go through the pandemic and not be in a relationship because I think that would have been very challenging to navigate. All that time, that many couples were irritated with each other. I got to have space and freedom to figure it out. Who am I? And this was as told to David Hockman. Acclaimed for her authenticity and emotional depth, actress Diane Lane, 59, stars in the Netflix series A Man in Full, based on the Tom Wolfe novel, and in the FX series Feud, Capote versus The Swans, both now streaming. And another comment from her, in my profession, I can only ever play the age that I am, at least until AI takes over completely. Then the plastic surgeons will be out of a job. Now let's move to AARP, the bulletin, and the cover story for this particular issue is the war on chronic pain. Instead of a single cure, researchers are now looking for a multi-pronged approach to managing everyday aches. This is a fairly long article, so we probably won't get through all of it today. Chances are right now you're in some sort of pain. Maybe your back aches, or arthritis is hurting your hands, or knee pain is hobbling your walk. Maybe you're dealing with something even more intense. Lingering, life-altering pain from diabetes or cancer. These are all forms of chronic pain, a type that persists longer than 3 to 6 months and rears its ugly head almost every day. Chronic pain strikes in many ways. Musculoskeletal pain from gout or lingering injuries, inflammatory pain from autoimmune disorders, neuropathic pain from impinged or degenerative nerves, even pain that's linked to psychological issues. And it hits older adults especially hard. As we get older, pain becomes a part of our life. says Michael Ashburn, MD, Director of Pain Medicine at Penn Medicine in Philadelphia. With each passing year, the risk of chronic pain grows higher, affecting 26% of adults age 45 to 64 and 31% of those 65 and older. Chronic pain does more than deliver unrelenting aches, stiffness, and tenderness. It shrinks your life, too. Data from the National Center for Health Statistics finds that more than 1 in 10 adults, 65 and older, say they have pain that limits their life most days or all the time. Yet most of the news we've gotten about pain management over the past decade has been disappointing, to say the least. Our attempts to treat chronic pain with medication have led to an opioid abuse epidemic so severe that overdoses are now among the leading cause of death for adults age 50 to 70. But in the wake of all this despair, there may be real hope. Researchers are discovering new ways to understand our pain and developing novel treatments, including powerful non-drug options that may help you live more comfortably. What is pain? Touch a hot pan or stub your toe and your body lets you know. Climbing stairs, that telltale crunch makes you slow down. Pain is something we experience pretty much on a daily basis, yet it remains a very complex and mysterious phenomenon, says Hader Warwick, MD of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and author of The Song of Our Scars. Pain is an alarm bell that goes off in our body to get our attention so that whatever we're doing to cause the pain is immediately rectified. And one of the biggest mistakes we make is that we think of pain as purely physical sensations. It makes sense that your body wants you to take action to stop the pain. Pain turns more complex when it becomes chronic, Warwick said. Chronic pain is a combination of a physical sensation and an emotion that your body feels, he says, meaning there's more than just physical damage. It's emotional, social, and psychological, too. The assumption that what works for acute pain will also work for chronic pain is the root cause of the mistakes that we've made in medicine and as a society when it comes to the treatment of pain. That's why attempts to throw opioids and other potent drugs at chronic pain conditions have failed spectacularly. Understanding pain and appreciating its complexity has opened doors for new treatments, and that's why we're in a much better place to treat it. Pain isn't simply a signal that the body zips to the brain that registers as ouch. That's an outdated belief, says Tor Wagger, distinguished professor of psychological and brain sciences at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. Pain is more of a guess made by your brain in reaction to a physical stimulus. My body is under threat, so what should I be feeling now? It's about much more than what's coming in from your skin and joints. Your brain interprets these sensations in the context of other factors, including your memories, thoughts, and feelings, Wagger explains. So I'm going to stop the narration for a moment here and look at pain points. For older adults, chronic pain can strike anywhere from the head to the toes. Here's where it's commonly found in those 65 and older. A chronic headache, up to 4.4%. Chronic neck pain, 20%. Chronic unspecified joint pain, 40%. Back pain, up to 45%. Hand pain, 15%. Chronic hip pain, 20%. Knee pain, 18%. Foot pain, 14%. And neuropathic pain, up to 52%. Now back to the narrative. When you're injured, your body becomes hypersensitive to pain. This serves a purpose. You avoid walking on a twisted ankle, for example. As you heal, you gradually move more, and those sensations abate until you feel normal walking on your ankle again. With chronic pain, however, your attention to these signals becomes amplified, and you can get stuck in a cycle of pain even after your body has healed. That doesn't mean that your pain isn't real or wasn't caused by a legitimate injury or illness that kickstarted the process. But your body and brain can't simply transition back, and your nerves remain oversensitive to stimuli, creating lingering pain. If left to simmer, chronic pain can easily spiral, causing depression and anxiety, sleep deprivation, social isolation, and even economic and financial burden, says Salah Haddon Abdi, MD, a pain specialist at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center in Houston. The key to pain treatment, and what makes it so tricky, is figuring out what's contributing to and driving your pain. For any given person, figuring out the mix of those different things can be complex. It's not all in your spine or your knee joint, and it's not all in your mind either. Discovering your personal pain quotient, your tolerance and threshold, is the first step to healing. Building your pain management plan. With age, pain can become more widespread and complex. 3/4 of older patients have pain in multiple places. It's not just a matter of asking, where do you hurt, but where do you hurt the most and which pain is bothering you the most today? The answers to those questions will inform how to tackle your pain. Before a doctor's appointment, be prepared to discuss, when did the pain first come on? Where is it located? What time of day does the pain come on? What does it feel like? Dull, aching, shooting, burning? What makes the pain better? Positions, time of day, meds? What makes the pain worse? Stress, movement, lack of movement? What activities have you had to curtail? The goal of treatment is to reduce, not necessarily cure completely, your pain as much as possible, so you have a better quality of life and can do what you normally do. If you haven't already, ask your doctor to connect you with a pain physician in your hospital system. What we know now is that chronic pain can't be cured with a script for medication, especially opioids, powerful drugs that are best used for short-term pain relief. These drugs may still be used in the context of chronic pain in certain circumstances, but experts no longer look at them as a panacea, and we know they can cause a lot of harm. Over the past 20 years, the rate of fatal drug overdoses among adults over 65 quadrupled. In 2021, more than half of those deaths involved an opioid, according to JAMA Psychiatry. These drugs aren't just addictive, they actually ratchet up your nervous system responses, so pain threshold decreases while pain sensitivity increases. As opioids block traditional pain pathways, your brain and spinal cord work together to form new connections by which to transmit pain signals, making you even more sensitive. As a result, things that wouldn't hurt you in the past can now cause pain. Pain management specialists now see a multi-pronged approach as the best way to deal with chronic pain. There is not one single thing that can be done to make your pain better. We get the best results when we use all the tools in our toolbox, Ashburn says. Painkillers, anti-inflammatories, implantable devices, nerve blocks, spinal cord stimulation, and surgery may all play a role as important parts of your treatment plan. Several of the doctors we spoke with emphasized the importance of getting multiple medical opinions, especially before an invasive treatment such as surgery. Here are the primary non-surgical approaches to pain management and how to access each. 1. Treat depression and anxiety. Chronic anxiety and/or depression symptoms are 5 times more common in people who have chronic pain than in those without, according to research in the journal Pain in 2024. Of course, it makes sense that you feel down when your back hurts every day, but treating those emotions is critical to relieving the physical sensations. If we fail to diagnose and treat depression in someone with chronic pain, we miss a wonderful opportunity to help that person. That may be done through therapy. Some mental health professionals specialize in working with people with chronic pain, as well as medication. Interestingly enough, certain antidepressants are also effective for pain. In that regard, you get a twofer. Two, seek out a sleep specialist. Pain makes sleep hard to come by, but lack of sleep makes pain worse. That's why experts consider good sleep a foundation part of treatment. This includes diagnosing and treating obstructive sleep apnea, a condition marked by brief pauses in breathing during sleep that becomes more likely with age. People with this disorder are twice as likely to live with pain problems than healthy folks, but treatment with a CPAP, continuous positive airway pressure machine, was found to decrease pain symptoms, according to data in scientific reports. Outside sleep apnea, taking a general lack of sleep seriously can play a big role in alleviating chronic pain. If someone isn't sleeping and I can figure out how to help them sleep, they will be in a much better position to be able to recover. Sleep hygiene includes maintaining a consistent sleep and wake time and setting up a cool, comfortable, and quiet bedroom. Shut off all electronic devices at least 30 minutes before bedtime, suggests the American Academy of Sleep Medicine. Avoid caffeine in the afternoon and evening, and don't drink alcohol within 4 hours of your bedtime. Number three, unlearn your pain. Pain reprocessing therapy, dubbed PRT for short, is a relatively new type of cognitive behavioral therapy specifically geared toward rewiring your brain's experience with pain. PRT involves being aware of pain in your body and reminding yourself that your brain may be sending out a false alarm. This alarm signal involves your brain amplifying sensations from your body to guard against future harm. Wagner likens this type of therapy to what you might do if you have a spider phobia. The best way to treat that is with gradual prolonged exposure to spiders with cognitive support. It's similar when confronting your pain. It's generally not helpful to push through or ignore pain altogether. This therapy acknowledges that the pain is real, but it helps you develop a new understanding of it so you can say, actually, this pain is safe pain, and I can explore and test it. Alongside a therapist, you'll be guided to move in ways that you're afraid of while re-evaluating ways, sensations and emotions that arise. The end goal is to challenge your beliefs about your pain and recognize that moving in certain ways is not physically harmful. Gradually, you may turn down the dial on your pain and allow you to move with less fear. Research that Wagner co-authored in JAMA Psychiatry found that 66% of people with mild or moderate chronic back pain said they were mostly or completely pain-free after twice-weekly PRT sessions for 1 month. You can find a therapist trained in PRT at painreprocessingtherapy.com. In addition, many major medical centers have pain psychologists on staff. Ask if your center uses it or is familiar with PRT and can make recommendations. Well, as I mentioned when we started, this article goes on at some length, so we'll continue with it next time. Now let's go to AARP, the magazine, in the section Upfront Live, and there's a section here that says, that cleans what? Skip the industrial products. In some cases, household items can do the trick. To clean a coffee maker, use denture tablets. Fill the tank with warm water, then drop in and dissolve 2 tablets. Says Leanne Staff of the Cleaning Authority, run through a regular cycle, then again using only warm water. To deep clean a toilet, use vinegar. Pour a cup or two of white vinegar in the bowl and let it sit overnight, says Michael Green of Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, In the morning, use a toilet brush to scrub the bowl. To clean soap scum, use grapefruit and salt. Pour a layer of salt over half a grapefruit. Then rub the grapefruit on the affected areas, and you'll see the soap scum start to lift. To clean red wine stains, use white wine. As soon as possible, blot white wine onto the fabric to dilute the stain. Then follow up with a clean, wet cloth to get out the rest. Be sure not to rub the stain into the fabric. Before cleaning a microwave, put damp sponges inside. Run the microwave on high for 1 minute with a few sponges inside. The moisture makes it easier to wipe down food spatters. Use the warmed sponges to wipe. To clean a garbage disposal, use ice cubes. These will remove any food scraps that are stuck under the disposal blades or impellers, as well as the grind chamber. You should use just a handful. Too many ice cubes can clog the drain. To clean crayon on walls, use mayonnaise. Mayonnaise consists of oils that help break down the wax in crayons. Apply a small amount to the stain and let it sit for a few minutes before wiping away with a damp microfiber cloth. To clean pasta sauce stains in use, use lemon. Soak a cloth in cold water and blot. Then grab a slice of lemon and rub it into the stain. Once the spatter seems mostly gone, pour on water to cover the area and blot again with a clean cloth. Here's another article on this page. Do our pets experience grief? They provide us with comfort, but sometimes they need comfort too. Before he recently passed, my husband would tell me how much he loved the two of us, meaning me and Maple, our dog. He and Maple were inseparable. Even as Jerry lay on a hospital bed we had placed in our family room, Maple would pop up and lick him. That made Jerry smile when he had little else to smile about in the throes of Lewy body dementia. After Jerry died, Maple wasn't interested in things she used to love, such as toys and food. Like me, she was suffering from grief. How could I help her? Catherine Dench, chief veterinary advisor at Paw Origins, which sells pet supplements online, offers these tips. Maintain normalcy. Routine is key. Keep walks and feedings consistent. Provide extra attention. Give your pet more cuddles and pats. Socialize. Interaction with your dogs and people can lift spirits. Maple is doing much better. Each morning at 7 a.m., she licks my face, reminding me that she's hungry and wants love. Now we are the twosome. Now, up front, eat. Flavor your water. Adding extras to your HTO can make it easier to sip and stay hydrated. But flavored water isn't only a spa day treat. You can make it at home using these easy recipes from Adrian Willis, director of Spa Fiore at Hotel Viking in Newport, Rhode Island. Serve any of these recipes, which makes about a gallon of water, immediately over ice. For stronger flavor, steep for 3 to 4 hours in the fridge. Cucumber mint. Thinly slice one whole cucumber and add to a water pitcher. Roughly chop a half a cup of fresh mint to leaves and add to the pitcher and fill it with water. Strawberry lime. Thinly slice 2 limes and 3 cups of strawberries and add to water pitcher. Squeeze the juice from 1 more lime into the pitcher and then fill with water. Watermelon basil. Chop 1 small seedless watermelon into small cubes and add to a water pitcher. Add a half a cup of fresh basil leaves, roughly chopped, and fill the pitcher with water. Apple cinnamon. Bring 3 cups of water to a boil. Then remove from the heat and pour into a jar with 4 or 5 halved cinnamon sticks. Let cool. Slice 4 large apples into thin wedges and add to a water pitcher, and then pour in the cinnamon water and fill the pitcher to the top. Finally, blueberry lemon. Lightly crush 3 cups of blueberries and add to a water pitcher. Add 2 lemons, thinly sliced, and then squeeze the juice from 1 more lemon into the pitcher and fill with water. For orzo pasta, this is a favorite ingredient. This small rice-shaped pasta cooks quickly. Serve it warm or chilled in a salad. It takes on great flavor from ingredients like chicken stock, and it's a nice side for shrimp or scallops with a sauce. Try orzo soup with Italian sausage as a weeknight main course. Now, with the time we have left today, I'm going to continue on with the things that you might or might not have known about your brain. Number 93, gardening improves cognitive function of the aging brain. 94, the number of words recalled decreases with age. 95, did you know that a common trait in people over 100 is the ability to manage stress? 96, Tai Chi can relieve depression. 97, virtual reality games may help older brains stay sharp. 98, electrical brain stimulation may help a failing memory. 99, did you know that magnetic pulses aimed at the frontal lobes may lessen the grip of obsessive compulsive disorder? And 100, did you know the part of your brain that recognizes an object is different from the part that locates it? So these all came from National Geographic, Your Brain, 100 Things You Never Knew. And actually, it's a revised edition, and in the magazine itself, each one of these is dealt with and explained a little bit further. Now for the last little bit, the latest AARP, the Bulletin, has another 99 ways to save. So let's look at one or two. Home improvement. Observe the golden rule of insulation. If you can see the top of the floor joist in your attic, you'll likely save energy dollars by adding insulation. The Environmental Protection Agency estimates that homeowners can save an average of 15% by sealing their homes and adding insulation in attics, floors over crawl spaces, and basements. And batten down the hatch. Insulating your attic entry, often called the hatch, could save $150 a year in energy costs. The goal is to keep heat out of the attic. Since heat rises, an uninsulated hatch drains heat from your house. Home centers carry hatch insulation to fit most situations. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.